We're in our Stronghold series that we've been kind of hopping in and out of. And in case you're unchurched, I know that sounds like a kind of a crazy religious term. So let me break it down for you. A stronghold is the sin in your life that gets you again, again, and again. It's often been referred to as this. It's the sin that you don't just need forgiveness for, but you need freedom from. It's the one that no matter how hard you try, you just kind of keep going back to it. And I want to help you with something. Everyone in here has a sin that they are more inclined to do. The book of Hebrews says, lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us, which means we are all in this together. You don't look to your right and to your left and go, well, they've got it all together. Everybody in this church, I'm in the wrong place. No, we're all messed up. We are all jacked up. We are just in admission that we need a Savior to help us through this thing called life, okay? And so all of us have a sin that we kind of lean towards. And last week, and this is the message title, by the way, Strongholds is how we allow Satan in our home, speaking of our hearts, and how we kick him out. So that's what we're going to talk about today, how we allow him in our home and how we kick him out. And we're talking about how we allow Satan in our home and how we kick him out. Did you know that with a window, it has to be open from the inside for an intruder to get in? It's got to be open. Nobody walks up to a window and opens it from the outside unless it's been unlocked from the inside. Many of us have let Satan in our lives without knowing it because we've left the windows of our home, our heart, open to certain sin. And when we do this long enough, strongholds get us. And they begin to take power over us. And what we once had power over now has power and control over us. And we have welcomed sin in our life. And the devil comes in our life and he sets up camp and he makes a residence in the home of our heart and we struggle to kick him out. A lot of things we blame the devil for, it's really, you know, he don't get the credit. We did it. And we let sin in and this is what's happening. For many of you, perhaps this is what happened is something small you cracked that window to and it got in and now it has you. Maybe it's an addiction of some type or maybe it's pornography or anger or jealousy or bitterness or pride or lust or whatever it may be. But I want to tell you here today, I believe with all my heart, victory is on the way. Victory is on the way for you today. I've been hearing some of the letters, and I was so excited. I've been hearing that, because we've been jumping in and out of this, that one person wrote and said, I've been addicted to pornography for 20 years, and this is my fourth week that I'm clean. I said, that's great. Another one, I've been addicted to alcohol. This is my fourth week I'm clean. Another one, I've been dealing with bitterness, and I'm over it for 4 weeks. And I know you think, well, that don't sound like much. No, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Because when we talk about strongholds sometimes take two steps forward and one step back, but it's still one step forward. So you might fall. You might be 3 days sober, go for four. Get up, go for four. You might be a week into this deal and you're, you know, having victory and you fall, get back up and keep fighting. I believe that victory is going to be found today as we look at this subject of how we allow them in and how we get them out. Here's what Matthew 7:24 says. It says this, that anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it, you got to listen and you got to follow it, they're wise. They're like a person who builds their what? Their house on the solid rock. Now, their house is their life. That's what he's saying there. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says this, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Whoa. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives within you, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Let me pause right here for this movement that's going on big. My body, my choice. No, it's not. Not if you're a believer. You are not your own. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Are you living your life in a way that grieves the Holy Spirit or glorifies the Holy Spirit? You are not your own. There's another verse, Ephesians says over here, it says this, or Romans, for everything. Now, this includes your body, your wealth, your talent, your job, everything, your money, everything. Where does it come from? God. It comes from Him and exists. Why? Exists with His power and is intended for His glory. So that is why we have what we have. All glory to Him forever. Amen. And so Ephesians 4:27 says this. This is why it says this. Neither give place. Now that's interesting. Neither give place to the devil. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. This means that you can be saved, but give place to the devil. Wait, I thought when we were saved, we have the Holy Spirit, we're good. But this shows us don't give place to the devil, that we can be saved, and we can either be filled with the Holy Spirit, or we can give place for the devil to take reign in our lives and in our hearts. And strongholds, that's where they begin, inside. But I want to tell you something. Satan can never take any ground in your life that you do not give him. He does not have that authority. He is not greater than our Lord. He is an absolute trespasser. He is shut out, locked out of your heart until you open your life to sin. And when you open your life to sin, he takes place in our lives. How do we allow the devil to get in our home? Let's look at this. It's when we crack the window. It's when we crack the window to just a little bit of sin. Just a little bit of sin, and he can come in. Just a little bit of sin, and we are saying, hey, you're welcome. We're holding up a welcome mat saying, you are welcome to come on in and make yourself at home. But I want to show you something. He's not going to just stand at the entryway. He's going to come in, and he wants every single department and room in your life so he can wreck it. That's what he's after, all right? That's what happens. But how does he get in? Let's spend some time on this, okay? Number one, when we open the window of lying is what we'll call it. When we lie, Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, put away lying. Let each of you speak the truth to your neighbor, for you're members of one another. If you catch yourself lying often or lying, if your life is not based on an absolute truth, did you know you've created a cozy home for the devil? You've let him come in and be welcome at your house. You've opened the window. John 8:44 says that Jesus says the devil is a liar and he is the father of lies. So when you lie, he says, I like this. Whew, what a cozy environment. I'll just set up shop here, sit in my lazy boy. I like this. And we lie and he comes on in. God's kingdom is built on truth. John 14:6 says that Jesus is truth. So let me ask you a question. Is there any area of your life, that I am not completely committed to being honest about? It's a good question. Good question. That'll answer the question for you to say, is there any area of my life that I'm not completely honest about? Now, if you open the windows by lying to the father of lies, he will come in and he will take over. Now, I'm not beating you up. Romans says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned, including myself. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to show you how he gets in. Number two, he gets in by anger. Ephesians 4:6 says, be angry and do not sin. You know, when we have anger, it creates a home for the devil. If you're easily angered, you know that we are being like Satan when we are easily angered. The Bible tells us in Revelation 12 and in Revelation 17 that he is full of wrath, which means he's full of anger. Now, there's righteous anger in the Bible. And you know how to avoid anger? How you avoid anger and not sin is by getting angry at sin, okay? And so it's possible to be angry and not sin. It says, be angry, let it not lead to sin. Is there anyone in your life that has hurt you, your boss, your neighbors, your children, your parents, whatever they've done, and now it's making it worse because it just stirs in you and you are angry about it? Don't do that. Don't give place for the devil. It's not worth it. He says, be angry, but do not sin. It's okay to be angry, but don't let it lead to sin. Again, I'm not beating up on you. I know this is not a feel-good message so far. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. I'm your friend. I want to tell you the truth because I don't want Satan creeping in the windows of your life, taking root and ruining your life, okay? The third window is through stealing. He says, therefore, if you're a thief, quit stealing. Another way that Satan comes in is when we steal. John 10:10 says that he is a thief, that Satan is a thief, and his purpose is to come to steal, kill, or destroy. That's what he says. So when we steal, we are opening a window for him to come in. Stealing allows the devil to take root in our lives. It allows us to take root in our lives. And I know this is not the most encouraging message. I know many of you are saying, I'm so glad I came to church today. And I'm so glad I brought my friend. I built you up all week, how you're going to encourage him, how you're going to make him feel better. Of all weeks I brought them, wow, did I mess it up. Listen, I'm not here just to encourage you every week. Most of the time I do. I'm a truth speaker. I'm a hope dealer. I don't want Satan to come in your home and create a stronghold and destroy your lives. I'd much rather teach something else. But I want to open up the Bible and teach the whole counsel of God and not just be the guy that makes you feel good. 10 ways to happiness. 10 ways to success. Meanwhile, the windows of your life are open and Satan is coming in and wrecking everything in your life. I love you too much to do that. I pray for you every day. I've been on my knees praying for you for weeks that you would get victory over your stronghold. No one wants you to win like I want you to win. That's why I tell you the truth. Window number 4, bitterness. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Bitterness creates a home for the devil. Bitterness is when someone hurts you. How many of you have ever been hurt by somebody? Everybody say, okay, there was 2 people over here, so I'm going to preach to you. Bitterness, everybody else ain't never been hurt, but we've been hurt. This section has been hurt. This is the hurting section. I'm going to come sit in your seat on Saturday night. You know when somebody hurts you? It hurts you, and what do? It causes bitterness because we keep rewinding it and playing it over and over, don't we? We nurse it. We rehearse it. We reverse it again. Reverse it again, reverse it again, play it again, play it again. Play it over and over and over and over and over until the roots of bitterness get down in us. And boy, are they some hard roots to get rid of, aren't they? When bitterness seeps in and grabs root, God, they're hard to get rid of. If you've got bitterness in your life, go to the person and ask for forgiveness. They may not even know that you are hurt. Go to them anyways. Get rid of it. Spray the weed killer on those roots. The only way to do it is to go to them and say, I was wrong and I need your forgiveness, or this is how you hurt me, and you might not even know that you hurt me, but you did this, said this, I've been bitter, and I got to get free. Bitterness will cause the enemy to come in and to destroy your life. If I were to pour acid in this plastic container right now, you know what it would do? It would eat up the container. The problem is not them, it's you. You got to get free of that stuff, okay? The devil loves to find a bitter heart. You know, you can sit in church, put a smile on your face, come here every weekend, sing these songs, but if you got bitterness in your heart, you got no joy, you got no victory, your prayers ain't going no higher than this ceiling, it's ruining your life and the life of those around you. The fifth window is malice. Malice. Now, what does that word mean? We use this in the courtroom a lot. It means the desire to hurt somebody. It means the desire to hurt somebody. Now, notice this verse builds. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away with all malice. It builds. It's like as if we don't take care of it on the bitterness level, it turns to wrath. And if we don't take care of it on the wrath level, it turns to anger. It's as if these windows, we have bitterness. Someone when we feel has wounded us and done us wrong, and we let it sink in rather than forgive. And then if we don't get past that, it comes up a little more, and then it turns into wrath. The Greek word for wrath means that it burns on the inside, and like internal heat. After a while, you begin to just say, oh, I'm burning. I'm doing a slow burn. If we don't take care of it at wrath, it turns to anger. That burn from the inside now bursts into flames, and it becomes from what was internal to external. And if we don't take care of it there, we move over here and we turn to clamor. Now, that's a weird word, but you know what that means? It means to speak loudly, to shout, to yell, to say stuff you shouldn't say, evil speaking. You ever had that where you want to just, you know, you begin to say stuff that you shouldn't say and you know you shouldn't say, and the devil's in your ear whispering, say, yeah, tell him that. Tell him the mama's ugly. Tell him so-and-so. Tell him they need to lose 10 pounds. Tell him this. And you begin to get so angry, you yell, and you tell them mama's ugly and they need to lose 10 pounds and they could do better if they got on a treadmill. And then you begin to say, I wish I never met you. And you begin to say, I wish we were never married. And you begin to say, I hate you. I wish you'd die. It's clamor. Now notice something. That all started here. Bitterness. Wrath. Anger. Notice they're getting bigger and bigger. Clamor. Then we have malice, and it's all open. I mean, it's free reign for the enemy to take over the home of your heart. Malice is where you want to hurt somebody. You get to the spot where you just want to shake them. You want to emotionally hurt them. You want them to feel hurt. You want to hurt them emotionally. You want to hurt them financially. You want to cut them off. You want to do anything you can do to cut them off. Bitterness, wrath, anger, evil speaking, malice. We've let the devil all the way in the home. And now the Holy Spirit is weeping. He's weeping. His heart is broken. Parents, you know how it is when your child does something they shouldn't do and it just makes you grieve. That's what Scripture says in Ephesians 4:30 when he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine being saved, born again, being a temple of the Holy Spirit, bought by the blood of Jesus, and now your home has come a home for the devil? Windows are not open from the outside. They're open from the inside by us, by letting sin in our life. We've invited them in, and the Holy Spirit is weeping. And the devil, you know what he's doing? He's laughing. He said, I've got him right where I want him. He's like, that's how it all happens. It builds and builds and builds until he comes all the way in. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, wow, that's what happened. I looked at the internet for 1 second and thought I could get away with it. And lightning didn't come down and now I'm full on addicted to pornography. I began to say sly remarks to my wife and now clamor, that's us when we fight. I began to have a little bit of anger and then it turned into bitterness, and now I'm angry, now I hate and I despise that person. But that's how it grew, all by just that little window open. So let me show you how we kick him out, how we kick the devil out of our life real fast. We're going to go through this rapid pass, okay? You ready? Number one, we repent. That's how we kick him out. 1 John 1:9 says this. It says, if we confess. Isn't that beautiful? That's all we got to do. If we confess our sins, He, Jesus, is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll cleanse us from all, not some, but all. So we must repent. When we confess, the word repent means turn a 180, turn in the opposite direction. I'm going this direction, heading towards sin. God, I repent, and I want to come back in your direction. Military term, what is it? About face. You got it. About face. That's what repent means, going in the opposite direction. Listen, what you gave place to the devil, you must take back. But you can never take it back until you realize that he has legal authority by the way of sin in your life. Every area that is unconfessed sin in your life is legal ground for Satan. It's just like me living in that apartment. Until you repent of that sin, Satan has every right to make his home in your heart. The second way we do it is we resist him. We repent, then we resist. We repent and resist. He's not just going to walk out of your life because you repented. He'll say, oh, good for you, but I'm staying here. He's not going to walk out. You got to run him out. You got to resist the devil. Resist the devil, and look what this verse says. He will flee. He will run. And so the Bible tells us that we're going to have tug of war. We're going to resist. That means that when you repent, he's going to come back after you. Look at it. Resist him. He's a pug with no teeth. He has no authority over your life. He ain't going to win. Laugh at it. You want to play tug of war? Your power has already been stripped at the cross. See, he might have some power over us, but you know you got more authority than him. You know what the word authority means? Word of authority means legal right to act on the behalf of another. The best way I can picture this is we had a police officer out here one time. He weighed 105, little guy, but he was stopping 2,000-pound cars. Get out there and stop. You know why? He has the authority. He's backed by the state to say stop, and we must stop. Some of you are walking through the Christian life defeated, and you have the authority to use the name of Jesus. And instead, you're saying, the devil, I won't mess with you if you don't mess with me. And he's a pug. He ain't even a thug. He's a pug. You got the authority of Jesus. You've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. He has put on the blood. You're like a police officer, but with the authority of Jesus. He says, I give you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome not some of, but all. The power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. You have the authority of Jesus. So that stronghold in your life, You ought to say, I will use the name of Jesus. I will claim the blood of Jesus. I will be full of the Spirit, and I will take the word of God and fight him. When we talk about resisting, that's what we must do. I love this. You may want to take a picture of this. You might say something like this. This is what I say. This body of mine is the temple of the Spirit of God. You are trespassing on my Father's property. He's a trespasser. You are bought with the blood of Christ. I said, no. This body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You are trespassing on my Father's property. And in the name of Jesus, whose I am and whose I serve, be gone. And he will. The devil don't care about your intentions. He don't care about your disciplines. He don't care about your resolutions. But he fears the name and blood of Jesus. So when he sets up shop in your house, in your heart, bring the word of God and bring the blood of Jesus and he will flee. You remember what Revelation says? They overcame him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. Resistance from sin is only possible after repentance of sin. So we must repent, we must resist, and then we will get renewal. Renewal. Ephesians 4:23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I love that. In the spirit of your mind, as we wrap this up, it's not enough to put off the old man. You must put the new man on. You must put on Christ when the devil comes against you and says, you're not good enough. You sinned. You did that. You fell in a stronghold again. Put off the old man and put on the new man. The new man is who you are in Christ. The Bible says that I'm a more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. When he comes at you with condemnation that you did this again, you fell again, you'll never get, why even go to church? You'll never get freedom. Say, the Bible says, I am the righteousness of God. I'm just as clean as Jesus. The Bible says that therefore there is no condemnation of those who belong to Jesus. The Bible says that the Father looks at me and sees Jesus. You bring that on. You put on the new man. That's what he says. The Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit over in Ephesians 5:18. That means you can either grieve the Holy Spirit or you can be filled with the devil. If the Holy Spirit fills your house, there's no more room for the devil to live in it. Not one room. The Spirit of God is in you, and you are the temple of God. So that means this. That means that you ought to give the Holy Spirit every key to your house. Every key to your house and your heart. Your sex life, your business life, your political life, your church life, your social life. The big things, the little things, your money, your exercise, your sleep, my lying down, my waking up. Jesus, I give you the keys to all of it. Fill me, and I'll do what you say. Repentance, resistance, renewal. When you do this, you shut the windows of your life to Satan. You shut them. Now, if you're here today, we've got one more week on strongholds in 2 weeks. Next week we'll hit Father's Day. The starting point is inviting Jesus in your life. The Bible tells us that, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. But here's the problem. Many of us will take it, we'll lock it up, and we'll say, no thanks, God. I'd rather fill my life with pleasures or money or accolades or different things, a career pursuit. No thanks, but when I get things right, I'll let you in. But for now, I'm locking you out. And we lock him, knock him out, and he stands and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice, do you hear his voice today? Is he knocking on your heart? Because you have an opportunity to keep it closed or to open it. And he says, if you'll open it, then he'll come in and he'll dine with you. He'll give you eternal life. He'll give you forgiveness of sins. But for many of us, he's knocked and knocked and knocked, and we kept it closed. But I want to ask you a question. How long will you keep the door of your heart closed? None of us will know how much time we have for him to knock. We tend to think that death is for others, but not for us. You know what I say? I say today you let him in. I say you open them the door and say, you can have every key, every room in my heart. Eternity is too long to be wrong. And I don't want to be wrong. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to spend eternity with you. I hear you knocking. I hear your voice. And I have a choice to lock it or to open it. And God, my choice is to open it. Come into my heart. Most people miss heaven by 18 inches. They know of Jesus, but they never let him in their heart. Don't miss Jesus. Come to Jesus today. If God is knocking on the door of your heart, come to Jesus today. And I want to lead you in a prayer where you can do so right now. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray that we would have power over the strongholds in our lives. But right now, I pray particularly for that person that is here today that does not know you. And you are knocking on their door of their hearts literally right now. You are pulling on them right now to make this decision. God, please give them courage to do what you're calling them to do. If you'd like to have Jesus in your heart and heaven is your home, simply say this prayer. You can just say it silently in your heart from where you're at and believe on it with everything you've got, okay? Are you ready? Now's your moment. This is everything you've been looking for your whole life. Say, Jesus, I repent of my sins. I'm sorry. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose from the dead. So right here, right now, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to be my Lord, my Savior. I want a relationship with you. I proclaim that Jesus is Lord. And God, I want to say this in closing. After hearing that you were nailed and beaten on a cross for my sins, God, that should have been me. After hearing that you loved me enough, Father, to send your Son to bleed on a cross for me, I want to give you my word. I will never be ashamed of you. I want to give you my word. In just a moment at the invitation time, I'll come forward. I'll come. Anyone who would die for me, I will get up and stand for. I give you my word. That's my commitment to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.